Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to talk about hope. And I don't talk about hope very much. And as I was studying, I realized just how important it is. Corinthians says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But I venture to say that we won't walk in love without faith and hope. And let's talk about 2020. Whoa, there's ever been a year that hope was disappointed. Like in March when the coronavirus started and we were like, okay, by Easter, yeah, we'll be meeting. And then nope. And then we said, okay, in the summer, maybe things will return to normal in the summer. And the summer came and went. And then we said, okay, the holidays. Well, the holidays, we can all get, well, hope has been disappointed. What do we do with this when hope is constantly disappointed? Are we hoping for the wrong things? Are we hoping in the wrong things? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Maybe our government is what we put our hope in. Well, that definitely is not the place to put our hope. I got to get to my remote here. Or maybe we put our hope in ourselves. Well, I don't know about you, but I constantly disappoint myself. Or maybe our hope's in our loved ones. Well, that's tough too because they're human. And they're not going to meet all of our expectations and standards. As hard as 2020 has been, I wonder if it's actually provided an opportunity for us to step into the distillation of true and genuine hope. It's sorting through what we've really been putting our hope in. I'll ask you today to consider biblical hope. Hope is found 182 times in the scriptures. It's about equal between the Old and the New Testament. It can be used as a noun, I have hope. It can be used as a verb, I hope to see you soon. It starts in the very beginning of Genesis 3 all the way to the end. The Jewish faith hope has been at the core of its identity, entire existence. Hope is intertwined in all the scriptures, a hope for freedom, a hope for peace, a hope for justice, a hope for a savior, a hope for the Messiah. So when Christ came, heaven touched earth in a new and profound way. Not just in the pillar of fire by night, not just in the Red Sea parting now, not just in the glory of the Lord seen on Moses' face, but in a vulnerable form of a child. Christ is our hope. Biblical hope cannot be expressed as what we hope for without the backbone of what we hope in. If you hope for redemption, that is all with the backbone of hoping in Christ. If your hope is for the joy that's to come or that there's something beyond this physical life, all of that as a believer comes with the backbone of having hope in Christ. Christ is in all things, and he is the hope that we put our faith in. When the shepherds found Christ, they couldn't help but proclaim hope to the world. When the Magi found Christ, they couldn't help but celebrate hope, which we'll talk about next week. And everybody who came across Christ's path had a revelation of hope. And we'll talk about that the following week. But my working definition of hope that we're going to use this morning is this. Hope is a confident expectation of the current and future glory that God is bringing about through his grace. Often not yet seen, but of which we eagerly and actively await. It's not so easy to remember, is it? We'll do some bite-sized pieces here. Hope is active. It's active waiting. There's two primary words used for hope in the Old Testament. And the first is, I got the songs on here, honey. You know how to switch that? Wait. Did I get it? Yes. That's not what it says here. That's funny. Anyway, technology glitches. Yes, I should have put that up. Okay, we'll go on. Hope is the current expectation of a current and future glory. Actually, it's a confident expectation, it should say, of a current and future glory that God is bringing about through his grace. It's all by grace, y'all. It's all by grace. No, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. Yet, not yet seen, but of which we eagerly and actively await. But there's two primary words for hope. One is yakel, which means to wait. The other is tikva, which means to wait, to hope, which has a deeper sense, and it comes from the root word ova, which means cord or rope. And I was thinking about that. It's multidimensional in its meaning. So there's a rope, and its strands are coming together, and its strands interlocked together. With hope, we are interlocking our thoughts with God's thoughts. We're interlocking ourselves to him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not to harm you, that you would have a hope, tikva, a hope and a future." This idea that hope and future comes from braiding our actions with God's actions, braiding our thoughts with his thoughts. When it's braided together, that our hope becomes his hope. And we have eternal hope. When you pull on a rope, it tightens, right? And what happens? It actually strengthens. The interlocking tightens up, and this is the reality of hope as believers. And this hope also comes a sense of adversity. There's a tension. We're in the in-between times. And the common tension that we're expecting and waiting for something, we're living in this tension right now. Psalm 130 says, "I wait, kava." I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. You can just hear the tension in that. You can sense the tension. And in his word, I put my hope, which means to wait. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning, more than a watchman waits for the morning. Can you hear and feel the tension in that scripture? That's what I love about the reality of hope that we have and the faith that comes from biblical hope. It doesn't ignore doubt and tension. No, it actually leans into it and it strengthens it in the tension. Advent looks back at the incarnation of Christ, the presence of Christ bringing us hope while also looking forward to the second coming. And this is eternal glory that is to come. We have hope, yet we're waiting for that hope. Here we are living in between the two. Sometimes our emotions are like a pendulum. It's all one way. It's all going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. And then, no, nothing's working out. No, it's all hopeless. It's never going to be what we want. As believers, we live in between the two. We have to pay attention to what we're hoping in. Receiving God in his hope and his goodness in here, but also looking forward to the greater hope that is to come through eternal God, our Lord. Thomas Aquinas makes a distinction between ordinary hope and theological hope. Ordinary hope is described as passion. It's a pleasurable anticipation for a possible future, fulfillment of a desire, where theological hope is not a passion, it's a virtue. It's a habit of the will. It's something that the divine grace infuses in us. I think it was Aristotle who talked about What is a virtue? There's two elements. First, it's the wholeness or the fulfillment of the fruit that comes through a virtue. But second, you have to have action to achieve certain elements of certain goals within a virtue. But maybe Luther would argue, because maybe the virtue comes in the literal active waiting in dependence on God. And that's what we don't like. We are not good waiters. But dependingly active on the trusting the Almighty. Something we have to train the will to do, to believe in. It's hope practiced. It's hope believed. It's hope chosen on a daily basis. We practice Advent as a sort of active waiting, don't we? We prepare the tree. We love it. We prepare everything, and it's active things. We spread cheer, and we sing songs, and we pray, and we light a candle, and all these things. We're waiting, and we're receiving. We're anticipating, and at the same time, we're living in this tension. It's a beautiful biblical hope. Hope is born through Christ. First Peter said, "Praise be to the God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and an inheritance that can never perish." Many people refer to hope when they're actually, they just mean a wish. We're great wishers, aren't we? We're terrible hopers many times. With a wish, the object is chance. With hope, the object is God. And wishing is like playing the lottery. You're buying a wish and then you're sitting back and doing nothing, hoping by chance it'll bring this thing to you. But hope is different. Hope is having faith in a faithful God. It is doing the work of anticipation and what the Almighty might do and how when he's going to show up. It's being active. Hope is not a step, it's a stance. A step is doing one thing and then you're done, but a stance is constantly being ready. It's constantly being aware, constantly being active, and constantly expecting an understanding of what God is doing around us. Hope is eternal. Yeah. Psalm 33:22 says, "Lord, for our hope is in you alone." And I think if there's one thing, that's everything that can be shaken is being shaken, because we are seeing what we are trusting and putting our hope in. In 1 Peter, is that 1 Peter? Sorry. I want to read it. I'm going to have to pull it up. It's not up there. This is a powerful scripture. And I think it's where we're at right now. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him." Take that stance, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You're telling me that suffering and hope go hand in hand? These are part of the interlocking that the scripture talks about. Is your hope to get what your mind craves in the here and now? Your hope to protect or keep safe that which you want or desire? or that which you actually love? I thought about this in Star Wars. Darth Vader did not turn to the dark side because of his desire to rule over all people. No, he turned to the dark side because he was trying to protect that which he loved so deeply. It was a good thing, and he put his hope right there. But when he lost that which he loved so deeply, he lost his hope. And then he started down the road of pain. And in the road which he decided, he tried to control everybody and everything in his path so that nothing could get in and hurt him and hurt his heart in the same way. Misplaced hope is dangerous. Misplaced hope can become a religion for us. If I just hope in God, if I just hope God will do this thing for me enough, I just hope, oh, I just want him. If I hope he'll protect me, the things that I love will protect me. I just to keep me safe. If I just hope, then it'll all work out. But unfortunately, the scripture doesn't teach this kind of hope. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. I'm sorry to say that today. That you and I will experience pain, that we will experience hardship. Some of us have already walked through some deep pain in our lives, and some of us have pain in front of us that we're gonna need to face. Life is what happens on your way to your plans. If you judge hope according to what you have in this moment, you do not judge what God promises eternally. Jesus said, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And he puts us things in our perspective here. His plan is not to thwart our momentary issues or troubles or hurts. His eternal plan exists. They are not thwarted by sin in the world, and they will live. And the consequences to sin, they're not thwarted. Augustine said, you have been made, God made us for himself, and we are restless until we rest in him. It's a call out to eternity. Maybe you feel restless today. I wonder if that's the internal, external hope calling you. God has placed within each and every one of us, and it's reaching out toward that. I love to go to funerals when they call it a homecoming. They're leaving this earth, and they have faith in Christ. That means they're going home. We lament the loss and ability to be here and now then, but we celebrate the life that they lived. And we celebrate the fact that they're going to a greater place of hope, and that God willing, we'll meet up with them someday. That's the understanding of eternal hope. I want to encourage you today. If you don't have hope today, maybe God is calling you to this very moment that by faith you can reach out to him. And he'll pour his hope in you greater than you could even understand. Receive hope today. Luke 2, the shepherds are going about their assigned task in the field when God showed up. And he gave them meaning, and he gave them calling. And the angels came, and they reacted like we would. They got freaked out. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and this is for all people. A child has been born. A Savior has been born, the Messiah. And so they take off, and they run, and they catch up, and they find Christ, and they rejoice then. And then it says in verse 20, Chapter 2, it says, the shepherd returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which they had just been told. Notice their immediate reaction after receiving Christ. We proclaim him, to praise him and proclaim his name. In other words, hope was prophesied. Hope was born, hope was received, and hope was proclaimed, and hope multiplied. The shepherds, they were there receiving this proclamation from the angels, and quickly they received Christ. And what did they do in return? They turned and immediately began to glorify God and praise and proclaim Christ. I want to spend a few moments here talking about what does it mean to proclaim Christ. Proclaiming hope is lighting a candle in the dark. Remember the scriptures, they said they came over, what came over the shepherds in Luke 2 was an incredible fear. But then this darkness, so it was this darkness that came over them, but then the angels showed up and the glory of God was all around them. In other words, light overcame their fear. Bishop Desmond Tutu said, hope is being able to see that there is a light despite all the darkness around us. That's what hope is. Many of us were going in our own direction, serving ourselves. Then someone came and proclaimed hope to us. And it changed the course of our existence. We received and we became a different person. I love that it shows it because we were meant to share light and hope to those around us. I think sometimes we make it a too big of a deal sharing our faith. We just should just do it every day. You share your faith by taking dinner to a friend. You share your faith by helping your neighbor take their groceries out of the car. You share your faith by smiling and say kind words. You share your faith by sharing your own story and talking about the hope that is interlaced in our life. How do you live? How do you light that candle? He wants from receiving a proclamation of faith to cast light on everyone around us. Craig Kosher, in his commentary on this text, states, Christian hope is fundamentally different from optimism. Christian hope locks steely eyes on the devastation of the world around it and readily acknowledges that things may not get better, but Christian hope does not bury its head in Yuletide cheer and artificial lights, but like an Advent wreath growing stronger and brighter each week, this hope pushes its way into the brokenness of the world, clearing a path in the wilderness so true lights may burst into the darkness. There was a lot of words, wasn't it? Proclamation of hope is lighting a candle. Proclamation of hope builds strength through suffering. In the last couple of decades, there were some psychologists that make a strong argument that hope is more than a theory. Hope is a science. So you have Gallup and you have New York Times and others that show studies that adults, children, and adults with higher hope do better in navigating injuries, disease, sickness, physical pain. They score higher on general optimism. They perform better in sports, excel in higher rates in athletes. Their general outlook on life. Listen to one of the leaders of the internal family justice movement, Casey Wynn, in his book Hope Rising. He said, "In every published study of hope, hope is the single best predictor of well-being compared to any other measure of trauma recovery. We agree to declare to everyone who will listen, the predictive power of hope in a person's life is greater than any other character strength." There's over 2,000 studies on hope. And psychologists are saying hope must be declared. Colossians 1, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are a carrier of the hope vaccine. It's in your blood. You've been given that within you. It's deep in your soul. There's people in physical pain, emotional pain that need this lifeblood, and you have got it within you. What more do we need to be called to? We've been given a mighty eternal hope from the great God. We've been called to proclaim hope. So come on, preach it, proclaim it with your life, and when necessary, use words. Too many people have been talking the talk and not walking the walk. In Luke 2, we see Mary, and she's in this cave, like AJ said. She's in the middle of hay, in the middle of stinky animals all around her. And she has hope in her arms. She has the Christ child. And she puts him in a manger. Look at her surroundings. And the shepherds show up. And they tell everything and they glorify God. And the scripture says that she treasured these things in her heart. In other words, all the surroundings around her that would say no to hope, it didn't matter. Hope overtook her. You think about her watching her son being crucified. She had to have hope or no mother could stand that. It would broke her heart. The hope of glory that is true and genuine, that's a gift that needs to be proclaimed. He is our hope. Proclaiming hope reveals our purpose. If you'd be thinking, no, I just don't know what my purpose is. Here is your purpose. The shepherds, they remained shepherds after their journey. They didn't stop being shepherds after what they experienced, but they became much more than that. They became igniters of hope, proclaimers of glory, symbols of Messiah. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Viktor Frankl, widely known as in a lot of different ways, a renowned psychologist, but he was, of course, a Holocaust survivor, and he survived a Nazi camp, and he came through that experience, and the one thing that he noted, he famously wrote about the link between hope and the immunities of the body, and he illustrated by prisoners that died between Christmas in 1944 and New Year's of 1945, 1 week. There wasn't a plague going on or anything. No, all these individuals in the camp were looking so forward to Christmas, and we were going to get. We're going to get out of here by Christmas. Surely they'll let us go home. Surely we're going to see our families. And they were hoping and hoping and hoping toward a specific thing. And they got to Christmas, and it came, and it passed. Yeah, their hope died, and they died with it. When their hope died, they died. Because hope is life blood, literally. When their hope died, so does their immune system. So did their will to live. So did their body. And Frankl noted this, but he noted something else. For those that were able to touch and give hope, it saved their lives, literally. It didn't just save their lives, it saved our lives, he said. Not just the person who heard hope or received it, but the person who proclaimed it. To proclaim hope helps you find your purpose. In other words, when you proclaim hope, two things happen. Number one, there's a lifeblood and energy that will fill your soul. When you do that in some form or fashion, proclaim hope. Second, you lean and step into purpose that God has created for you to step in to be a proclaimer of hope. It's what God is calling us to be. I want to invite the worship team to come up as I close. I want to give you an invitation to receive hope today. If you've been watching the news a lot and it's been draining your hope, which it will, Scripture says in Revelation that Jesus stands at the door and he's knocking. If you'll let him in, he'll dine with you. It's an eternal desire to commune with the Almighty that we have within us. He's waiting to commune with our souls. He's waiting to commune with us. He's giving you an invitation. He desires for you to receive him by faith. What does that mean? That means you simply express your faith through prayer to the Almighty that he will come and grant you the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter and the counselor. Receive his hope today. Second, we just want to close with a simple application. Is there a person in your life, your neighbor, a family member, a friend that comes to mind that is devoid of hope right now? What's the name that comes to your mind? Lock your mind on that name. Take a moment just to pray for them. Pray in the Spirit over them. Write that name down on a piece of paper or in your Bible. Join with someone to pray for them. And will you commit to resolve to be relentless in hope for that person this Advent season? Will you do that? And not in a way that's annoying, but in a way that's intentional and thoughtful. But first of all, receive God's hope. Second, you proclaim hope in this season. Advent is a time of expecting and waiting. And I pray that you would receive an expectation in this season. I pray that you would receive a pure and genuine hope. I pray that you would become a proclaimer of hope. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.